House, please come to order. Members indicate their presence by voting. Madam Clerk?
26 members present.
We do have a quorum to conduct business. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I mean, the quorum reflects that Representative Coring and Wilson have previously been excused from the call of the House today.
And Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Foster and Ledoux be excused from the call of the House today. And I see Representative Wyrock here. He had asked for an excuse. Is that? Yeah, and so I would ask that Representative Wyrock also be excused from the call of the House today.
Without objection, those members will be shown as excused, unless if they happen to be here when we vote on really hot topics, which we're not going to have, so. All right. Mr. Majority Leader.
I'll excuse him after he's gone, then I'll do that.
All right. I'd make a comment about that, but I'll do it. Leading the invocation today is the Reverend George Salides, back with us again, of the Holy Trinity Episcopal Church. Members, please rise for the invocation.
With the deepest respect for the religious traditions of each person here, I invite you into a time of prayerful reflection. Creator, who has made the earth to turn in its seasons and gives each as a gift to those who live upon it, teach us to wait with patience the due season of our own hopes and plans, and to value the time it takes to prepare well for the day of its coming. Temper our best ambitions, born of our sense of right and duty and purpose, with a tenderness and compassion for the ambitions of others, whose own dreams are held with no less passion. Help us who retain the wonderful anonymity of private citizenship to remember and respect the difficulty of living lives whose stories are no longer their own, but public property, an enormous weight to bear. To the gentle members of this House, whose actions bear such consequence, grant a wisdom to know when delay is best and when swift action is the better course. Upon the great complexity of numbers and budgets, of interest rates and dollars per barrel, Lord, help us to put a human face. Watch over all our families, I pray, especially those who have given their loved ones to us for a season, and upon the staff who work to provide the critical support and information so necessary for right choices to be made, I also ask your favor for all our sake. Amen.
Amen. Representative Gatto, will you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Representative McGuire.
Good morning, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that lovely prayer be spread across the journal.
Without objection, the prayer will be spread across the journal. Mr. Majority Leader.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the Representative from from Juneau, Representative Wyrock, be excused from the call of the House today. He has now left the House.
Okay. All right. I'm not sure there is an excuse, but without objection, Representative Wyrock will be shown as excused. Madam Clerk, could you certify the journal for the previous legislative day?
I certify the correctness of the journal for the ninth legislative day.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Speaker, I move unanimous consent that the journal of the ninth legislative day be approved as certified by the chief clerk.
Hearing no objection, then the journal will be approved as presented by the chief clerk. Do we have Mr. Majority Leader?
Just a brief at ease.
Brief at ease. To order, Mr. Majority Leader.
Hot on the press. Mr. Speaker, I would move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Berkowitz also be excused from the call of the House today.
Without objection, the minority leader will be excused, and for the members here, if you see Representative Guttenberg sitting in that seat, he will, if we have to vote, he'll move back over to his voting booth to vote, but he is now the minority leader. Remember that, Representative Croft. Okay. Moves us down to guests for introduction. Do we have any guests for introduction this morning? Representative Olson.
Mr. Speaker, I think I've got about the only guest. I'd like to join in welcoming Paul Shadur. Paul's been involved in fishery issues down here on a regular basis.
other guests for introduction? Seeing none, are there messages from the governor?
There are no messages from the governor today.
Are there messages from the other body?
A message dated January 17th stating the Senate has passed and returned committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution 13 resources. There are no further messages from the other body.
Are there any communications?
There are no communications.
Are there reports of standing committees?
There are no standing committee reports today.
Are there reports of sitting? No, are there reports of special committees?
There are no special committee reports.
Do we have any resolutions or citations to introduce?
A citation in memoriam, Chief Warrant Officer for Chester William Troxell, Alaska Army National Guard, by Representative Rokeberg and Senator Ben Stevens. House Joint Resolution 27 by Representative Coghill urging the United States Congress to pass legislation amending the Alaska Native Vietnam Veterans Allotment Act to allow deserving veterans to obtain allotments of vacant land within the state of Alaska and to reopen and legislatively approve allotments in the Tungus National Forest.
We refer to the Special Committee on Military and Veterans Affairs and State Affairs.
There are no further citations or resolutions for introduction.
Okay, do we have any bills to be introduced this morning?
Sponsor substitute for House Bill 51 by Representatives Meyer, Holm, and Ramros, entitled An Act Relating to Modifying the Qualifications Required for Workers' Compensation Self-Insurance and Permitting Employers in the Same Trade or Industry to Form an Employer Association for Self-Insured Workers' Compensation Coverage and Providing for an Effective Date.
This will be referred to Labor and Commerce and Finance.
House Bill 377 by Representative Meyer, entitled An Act Relating to an Exemption from Certain Registration and Practice Requirements for Persons Preparing Drawings or Specifications Related to the Construction of Certain Buildings.
This will also be referred to Labor and Commerce and Finance.
House Bill 378 by Representative Thomas, entitled An Act Designating a Representative of Chilkat Snowburners, Inc. as an ex officio member of the Alaska Chilkat Bald Eagle Preserve Advisory Council and removing the mayor of the city of Haines as an ex officio member of the council.
Representative Gruenberg asked for a brief at ease. All right, House, please come back to order. House Bill 378 by Representative Thomas is going to get referred to Community and Regional Affairs and Resources. Madam Clerk.
House Bill 379 by Representative Meyer, entitled An Act Relating to Controlled Substances.
That bill will go to Judiciary and Finance.
House Bill 380 by Representative Meyer, entitled An Act Relating to the Powers and Duties of the Commissioner of Environmental Conservation Relating to Animals, Animal Products, Agricultural Products, and the Transportation of Animals and Animal Products Relating to the Employment, Appointment, and Duties of a State Veterinarian by the Commissioner of Environmental Conservation Relating to the Powers of the Commissioner of Natural Resources Regarding Agricultural Products and Providing for an Effective Date.
Can we split the titles here a little bit, go to that previous bill and half and half? That'll go to Resources and Finance.
House Bill 381 by the House Rules Committee by request of the Governor, entitled An Act Relating to the Financing of Construction, Major Maintenance, and Renovation of Facilities for the University of Alaska Relating to the Financing of Construction of a Correctional Facility, authorizing the Commissioner of Revenue to sell the right to receive a portion of the anticipated revenue from a tobacco litigation settlement to the Northern Tobacco Securitization Corporation with the proceeds of that sale to finance construction, major maintenance, and renovation of facilities for the University of Alaska and to finance the construction of a correctional facility, providing for the establishment of funds for deposit of those proceeds, authorizing the issuance of bonds by the Northern Tobacco Securitization Corporation for the purpose of acquiring the right to receive a portion of anticipated revenue from a tobacco litigation settlement and providing for an effective date. A letter and a zero fiscal note were attached.
Finance Committee.
There are no further bills for introduction today.
That brings us down to consideration of the daily calendar. Madam Clerk, please read the first item on today's calendar.
There are citations on today's calendar.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Speaker, I move to ask unanimous consent that the citations on today's calendar be approved.
Without objection, the citations on today's calendar are approved. Brings us down to unfinished business. Mr. Majority Leader.
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the following representatives be excused from the call of the House for the following times. Representative Gatto from 7 p.m. Wednesday, January 18th until 10 p.m. Plain Time, Sunday, January 22nd. Representatives Newman and Roeckberg from 6 p.m. Thursday, January 19th until 10 a.m. Plain Time, Monday, January 23rd. Representative Meyer from 7 p.m. Thursday, January 19th until noon, Saturday, January 21st. Representative Sisna from 7 p.m. Thursday, January 19th until 10 p.m. Monday, January 23rd. Representative Anderson from, I don't have the times here, so Representative Anderson from, excuse from the call of the House, from the 19th until the morning plain time, Monday the 23rd. Make it, Speaker. Does that need to be amended for the clerk's sake?
Is there any other unfinished business?
Can we have an ad ease, Mr. Speaker?
Representative Guttenberg asked for an ad ease. Back door. Oh, I'm sorry. Order, Mr. Majority Leader.
Speaker.
Yeah.
I have to amend the last motion, so I would move that I amend the motion on Representative Anderson to 7 p.m. plain time, Monday the 23rd, and that Representative McGuire be excused from Thursday, 7 p.m., the 19th until, I think, Monday, 7 p.m., the 23rd as well. Correct. And then...
They're going to be gone together?
All three of them.
Okay.
Mr. Speaker, I also would move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Sinault be excused from the call of the House from 7 a.m. Friday, January 20th until 10 a.m. Monday, 23rd, January 23rd. Representative Croft from 7 a.m. Friday, January 20th until 10 a.m. Plain time, Tuesday, January 24th. And, Mr. Speaker, I don't see your absence on here.
Oh, okay.
So, would you like me to take a brief of these and get those times?
Oh, we'll do it sometime.
All right.
Okay.
As far as I know, Mr. Speaker, that is it.
All right, very good. Any other unfinished business? No other unfinished business? Committee announcements. Representative Hopper.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Committee announcements. Representative Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Fisheries is going to meet 8:30 on Friday. We're going to be talking about HB 328 mixing zones, and we'll have DEC there, and the representative is sponsoring the bill, and very limited public testimony. Actually, we're inviting only two at the first, and if there's any more time, we'll allow other people to testify, but we're going to try to compare the governor's proposed regs with the sponsor's 328. Thank you. Friday. 8:30.
Representative McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Judiciary today, just reminding members, it's in your notice packet, but for anyone else that wants to join us, we're going to have HB 326, posting of lewd material as harassment, HB 323, detention of material witness, HB 321, aggravated drunk driving, and Senate Bill 132, Human Rights Commission.
Thank you. Other committee announcements. Representative Ramirez.
Good morning, Mr. Speaker.
Good morning.
Resources today has got a full calendar. We're going to meet all the new DNR people, the top new seven people, at 1 o'clock. And then at 3 o'clock, for everybody's benefit, will be a presentation and a joint House-Senate Resources meeting up in Senate Finance, I believe, and Pedro Van Muir is going to go over the PPD, the Production Profits Tax proposal, which is a pretty significant thinking, and the members will be able to make up their own mind, but I would encourage anybody who's interested in learning more about that. It'll be a really fascinating presentation. It says 3 o'clock, but I think it'll probably start a little bit late up in Senate Finance room this afternoon. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
I'd just like to echo that any member who can make the time, I think this is going to be one of the largest issues along with the gas line that we face, and hopefully members can begin to get up to speed on that, because once it hits us, it'll be probably pretty fast. So I'd encourage as many members as possible to be in attendance at that. Any other committee announcements? Representative Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Excuse me, Mr. Speaker. Today in finance, we'll be working hard again. We have two bills, House Bill 175, Civil Legal Services Fund, and House Joint Resolution 7, Secretary of State references.
Other committee announcements? Other announcements? Representative Sisnett?
In approximately an hour and a few minutes, the Health Caucus will begin, and we are learning a great deal about alcohol and the costs of alcohol and some solutions to some of the problems that really vex this state. I might recommend that the committee members take a look at, or the legislature take a look at the legislative lounge for food, and if you want to have sandwich makings, come and get that at the Health Caucus. And the other thing, it's a great way for your staff to get lunch, to get it at the Health Caucus. So I'd love to see you there.
The Health Caucus at what, about 11:30, 11:45?
Noon.
Noon, okay. Lunch Caucus. Any other announcements, special orders? Representative Guerra.
I'd like permission to speak coffee with the governor.
Coffee with the governor, without objection. Representative Guerra.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I had the privilege over the last few years, as many people had, to get to know former Governor Jay Hammond a bit. As people outside of this building probably don't know, but he shuttled between many of us and the governor's office to try and build consensus for a fiscal plan. And a subject that he and I talked about that's becoming quite timely, and I think that more and more consensus is building on, and that he liked to talk about, was whether or not Alaska is getting a fair share for its oil resource. And he used to start every one of those conversations with the Constitution. And he would say, it might have been his favorite part of the Constitution, he would cite it all the time, and it's Article 8, Section 2, and it says that the people are supposed to, are entitled to, quote-unquote, the maximum benefit, end quote, from our natural resources. Not a decent benefit, not some benefit, not a middling benefit, but the maximum benefit. That's what the Constitution says, and I think the former governor would say that we're not doing that these days, and I think that's why we're all, many of us are starting to talk about oil tax reform in this building, and I think it's a good thing. Some people might be intimidated by the subject, and there are many different ways you can look at whether or not we're getting a fair share, and what we should do to get a fair share. And I distributed something today, something that we have from the Department of Revenue. The Department of Revenue tells us and will tell us, and on the sheet shows us, at every average annual price of oil, whether it's $10 a barrel, $20 a barrel, first 6 months this year it's been $60 a barrel, at every average annual price of oil, what profit share are we giving to the companies that produce on the North Slope? What share is the state taking, and what share are the feds taking? And one of the most relevant questions we can ask, and I think we should measure any oil tax proposal that comes before us by this measure, one of the things we can look at from this chart is, at any price, what is the corporate profit margin that we're allowing? And if you look at a company report, corporate profit margins range from the 5% range, 15, 20% range for major Wall Street companies. At $60 a barrel currently, which is what it's averaged the first 6 months of this fiscal year, we're on pace to send out somewhere over $7 billion in clear profit from North Slope oil production to the companies that work on the North Slope. That profit margin that we're sending out, if you look at profits as a percentage of total production value, gross revenue, that profit margin is 43%. We're sending out a 43% profit margin at today's oil prices, Mr. Speaker. The U.S. Energy Information Administration forecasts long-term oil prices to be in the $47 a barrel range. At $47 a barrel, we would send it about $5.2 billion in pure profits. That's what the oil companies took last year in pure profit from Alaska. That's a 41% profit margin. I would submit that you do not have to guarantee companies triple and quadruple the profit margin that other companies on Wall Street are taking in order to attract business in the state. That's the first part of it. The second part of it is, when we assess any tax proposal, all oil tax reform is not the same. The question when we look at any bill is, at these various oil prices, what share will the state get and what profit margin are we allowing the companies to make sure they have an incentive to invest here? And I could tell you at $60 a barrel, Mr. Speaker, if a bill raised $2.2 billion more in state revenue than what we're getting now, we would still leave the companies on the North Slope a 30% profit margin, about double what Econ One tells us that oil companies need in order to make a project economic. So if we're not taking in money like that in oil tax reform, the question is, are we leaving money on the table? So as you assess all of these oil tax proposals, ask how much it's going to raise and ask what kind of profit margin that's going to leave the oil companies. We know those answers. We know that if we took in another $1.5 billion, even at $47 a barrel, and think of what we could do with $1.5 billion for our schools, for our roads, to return revenue sharing to our communities. These are all things we say we don't have the money to deal with, but we could. If we took in an extra $1.5 billion at $47 a barrel, Mr. Speaker, we'd still leave a 30% profit margin for the companies producing on the North Slope. So there are many questions that are going to be asked during these oil tax hearings, but this is the one you should always ask. What does the proposal do? Does it raise enough money that the profit margin becomes fair and that the state share becomes fair? And then remember, the other question has to be, not does it give the state a decent benefit for its resource, but does it give the state the maximum benefit for its resource? We would be happy to work with anybody, share any information with people as these discussions go on. There's a more complete version of this document that I sent out. I just picked some various oil prices to fit it on one page, but we have the information at every average annual oil price through $60 a barrel. We'll have to get the state to update the chart because it's above $60 a barrel today, Mr. Speaker. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Other special orders? Representative Jewell.
Wondering if I'm being naive.
Without objection, but you're not.
I spent a lot of time this summer during the interim back east lobbying on behalf of Anwar. And that is something that many of the people in my district are very supportive of. And then I read in the paper, I can't remember if it was yesterday or today, where the new mayor of the North Slope Borough is on record as opposing development in the Tushitbuk Lake area of NPRA. So you have the same people who are very supportive of the coastal plain of Anwar, the 1002 area, and are in opposition to the Tushitbuk Lake area. Now, the reason I said, I wonder if I'm being naive, if there's an environmental community out there, well, first of all, the home people, the people who understand that land better than anybody else, if they're for it in the 1002 area, but against it in the Tushitbuk Lake area, there's a reason. Now, what I'm wondering if I'm being naive about is this. We have a huge opposition to the opening of Anwar. And we understand the nature of politics and getting things done, and there's usually a little horse trading going on. And what I'm wondering is this, is whether or not we can take the Tushitbuk Lake area and make it the sensitive part to development and lock that away for getting the 1002 area open and striking a deal with those who oppose Anwar to help us protect the Tushitbuk Lake area and leave that alone. And I just wonder if that's something I'm being naive about.
Good point. Other special orders? Representative Coghill.
Mr. Speaker.
Majority Leader.
We have a citation, and I would move and ask unanimous consent that the notice and publication requirements be waived and the citation in memoriam for Chief Warrant Officer Chester William Troxell be made a special order of business to be taken up at this time.
Without objection?
And Mr. Speaker, I move that we I move and ask unanimous consent that the citation be adopted.
Without objection? Special order citation is adopted. Other special orders?
Brief at ease, Mr. Speaker.
Brief at ease. Mr. Majority Leader.
Brought to my attention, and I would move and ask unanimous consent that all members of the House be shown as co-sponsors for the memoriam of Chief Warrant Officer Chester William Troxell.
Without objection, all members will be shown as co-sponsors for that citation. Other special orders? Welcome back, Mr. Minority Leader. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. Friday, January 20th.
Without objection, we will be in adjournment until 10 a.m. Friday.